Hello, this is itsalljournalism.com. My name is Michael O'Connell.
And I'm Jolie Lee.
In a couple of weeks, hundreds of digital journalists will be in San Francisco for the annual Online News Association conference.
ONA is where journalists go to learn and share what's going on in the world of online news, the latest tools and techniques, best practices, and of course, meeting all those cutting-edge journalists. These people include content producers and editors, technologists, programmers, designers, people in academia, people from big markets, and people from independent websites. Basically, anyone who has had a hand in getting news to you via the web. So according to the conference website, it's where people come to, quote, soak up the vibrant entrepreneurial spirit.
So today, It's All Journalism is bringing you a preview of what's coming. Our guests are the co-chairs of this year's ONA conference. Pam Maples is the Innovation Director at Knight Fellowships at Stanford, and Anthony Moore is the Director of Editorial Operations at Yahoo. Pam, Anthony, welcome to It's All Journalism.
Thanks for having us.
Yes.
So, for starters, Pam, we know this conference is clearly not just about networking and listening to speeches. There's a lot of workshops and trainings going on. So, can you give us some of the highlights of what people can sign up for?
We have several hands-on workshops, both during the Thursday pre-conference day, during the full conference. They range from tech skills, starting a new startup, design thinking. They're really varied.
Yeah, and some of the popular ones include things like law school for digital journalists, which you've had for a number of years. The idea being that the field of law is sort of ever-changing, and this year it's going to be a full day of practical training taught by leading experts about, you know, what has changed in the internet world that journalists need to know.
Did these workshops come out of feedback that you've gotten from previous ONA conferences?
Absolutely. For instance, last year, for the first time, we did a session on agile product design and project management. And agile is a term of art. It's actually a way of doing product management. It was so popular that it's being done again this year. So we have a mix of workshops that are longstanding, but others that were demanded by our membership.
With so many resources and tools online, what's the advantage of going in person?
The conversations that happen among the participants in the hallway, during the sessions, you can't replace face-to-face.
This is a party, too. This is the biggest thing for digital journalists. And to be honest with you, it's now becoming the one of the most important journalist conferences, not just digital journalist conferences, as other conferences have struggled besides those that are designed for particular subspecialties. This one here is becoming the place to go and meet other people, get jobs. We have a job fair, and also just to catch up with your friends and see what they've been up to for the last year.
I mean, speaking of jobs, obviously there's been huge shifts in the industry, particularly from the print side. Are the types of jobs kind of changing? You see the offerings out there changing?
Oh, absolutely. There are a much wider array. There's that increasing sense of the value of high-quality content. So there are editorial jobs at companies that began as tech startups but want to get into media. There are lots of more jobs in, quote, traditional organizations that are digitally focused.
What do you think is the biggest change in this year's agenda compared to earlier conferences?
The first conference I attended was in 2002 in New York, and there were, I think, 200 or 300 people there. And, we focused mostly on, as I recall, sort of how to transform your newsroom and really cool flash applications that were beginning to be done. The question of transforming newsrooms is still around, but it's only a subset of what's being talked about today. Moreover, the conference itself has morphed into a range of things, from product showcase by companies that do the tools that we use to do online journalism, to journalism startups that are creating new ways of doing journalism, and to the more traditional subjects that were actually not present in the earlier versions of our association. Things that actually we're going to be focusing on something. Maybe Pam, you want to flesh this out, but we're focusing on storytelling this year, which is something that, you know, back when we were all just dot-comers, wasn't the number one thing we thought about.
Right. We're at a point where I don't even think you should think of this as a, quote, digital journalist conference. It, to Anthony's earlier point, this is a conference that draws all kinds of journalists, and we're all in some way involved, or should be, in how we tell our stories across all kinds of platforms. So we wanted to go to sort of the core of storytelling. It's not just about tools or technology. It's the story.
Going down that sort of direction, what are the things that people, you know, who are out there, what should they be thinking about as far as storytelling? You know, has journalism changed to the point where they need to be approaching things completely differently, or do a lot of the same old skills still apply?
Well, I think that some of the core skills absolutely apply and are valuable, and you'll see them in the core of our program for this conference, but they're also, it's how you apply them. So knowing how to find the story, what is the story, and the basic underpinnings of, you know, getting it right, fast, all those things, and perspective, but then which tools or platforms or formats do you tell it in?
It's funny. Just last week with the shooting in New York City, with the way that the news sort of broke in Twitter, and there were, you know, news organizations going back and forth that were covering it live, and, you know, there were mistakes going out, and people were correcting mistakes, trying to follow up on photos and things like that. I mean, you see this sort of being played out, that a lot of the, you know, things that we used to think about in journalism, you know, of sourcing material, of, you know, maybe not putting that such a graphic image on online or on your website or something. I mean, these things all seem to be playing out so quickly.
I think things are playing out really in the public, whereas before, the sausage factory that resulted in a story at the end was something that was conducted, you know, privately as a precursor to the final thing, which was the story. What the digital world has done in conjunction with the social transformation of media, the democratization of the tools, that everybody now has the tools to be a journalist, is really taken the news gathering process and made it public. And a story, as Jeff Jarvis has famously said, is just a point in a timeline. So the actual sort of early facts that are known are now broadcast and published. And then the gathering of additional string to turn into a story is often happening, again, in public in real time, which then gets turned into a story. And then once that story is online, then it gets updated, commented on, corrected, recast, and continues its lifespan. So journalists always knew that inconsistencies and things that were not known, facts that weren't right, were always part of what was part of the journalism process before you got to the point of writing a story. Now we're seeing all of those things happen just as they always did, only they're also part of the public process of the story creation itself. And we talk about that, and we're going to talk about that in this conference, too, about how, you know, storytelling is changing.
I mean, talking about the sausage factory, as you put it, the keynote speaker is the CEO of Twitter, right? So I'm wondering...
I would call that a sausage factory, but...
But you see a lot of that reporting unfolding on Twitter, and the corrections and, you know, misreporting going out there. And I wonder, from both of your perspectives, being in the newsroom, how you've seen Twitter really be a game changer for reporters and editors.
Well, it's a still growing tool and morphing tool. So the way reporters are using it today, journalists are using it today, is different from 2 years ago. It'll continue to evolve, partly because there's also a bigger audience of users who are using it and deploying it in what we would call, quote, news situations. So I think more reporters are embedding it as a tool that they use. but also as a, then their organizations are using it as a publishing tool, a tip gathering tool. So I think it's a continually evolving sort of form.
Yeah, and we're, in addition to having a keynoter who is responsible for the modern, the latter day version of three-dot journalism, the Twitter CEO, we also have someone who really made his bones doing traditional narrative writing, and that's Jose Antonio Vargas, who shared in the Pulitzer Prize, worked for the Washington Post, told his biggest story about himself, which was an article that he wrote in the New York Times in which he disclosed that he'd been hiding the fact that he was an undocumented immigrant for nearly his entire life, including hiding that from his employers and from his friends and associates. So, he used a very traditional way of telling a story, to gain prominence. And now that story is the story. And we're going to be hearing more about that from him at the conference.
And I was just sitting here thinking about what we were talking about before, as far as all not wanting to necessarily hang this all on the digital label that you wanted to sort of concentrate on storytelling. And I think, there certainly probably was a rush with the rise of digital journalism and people, we want to pick up these technical skills. We want to play with this toy or that toy. But, at the core, we're out there reporting, we're delivering news. These seem to be the things that the strengths of our industry that we need to sort of reaffirm at times. And I think this is one of those times. What do you think about that?
I totally agree. And I think that's what we're after with this theme and focus of the conference. There are certainly sessions or workshops that involve using tools or increasing your understanding of technology, but there's also sessions about ethics. Things are through a digital prism, but they're sort of core issues and values that journalists have and that journalism brings to any good coverage. So there's a session on journalism under distress, duress, risk of reporting conflict. You could have done that session any number of times in a year. It's more about the story, the way you go get it, and the issues you face.
And let me get into the realm of a bigger question here, since we sort of touched on different aspects of it. Where do you see journalism heading right now?
Pam, you should answer that first, since you've got all these people are supposed
Please,
to be
you need to give us the answer.
I would say that if I really... no, I was going to make a smart aleck answer. But,
that's okay.
You
we're
can do
to
that.
Ratings, so,
yeah. I think we're... I actually think we're just getting into the really exciting part of all this disruption of our business. It is absolutely still scary for a lot of journalists, and there's a lot of legitimate concern about where we go and how we sustain it and the financial questions. But I think we're deep enough into it now that we're starting to see stuff come out that is really focused on preserving some of those core values, but doing it for this modern age and not being that one-to-many transmitter of information, protector of, all information, but more engaged with our audiences. And we see here, we work with 20 fellows every year from all over the world, journalists, who are trying to create new ways of doing or tools for journalism, approaches, and we see really exciting stuff because their journalists now are way past that hand-wringing, most of them are, of what am I going to do, or there is no answer, into let's figure this out.
I'm sorry, I would add to that and say that there are legitimate concerns also about the role of journalism in a democratic society, and will we be able to preserve the place that good reporting has had as a check and balance on on the problems that can occur you know, in government and elsewhere. So that's certainly up for debate. But I do think that the intrinsic need to communicate and desire of people to have accurate information on which to support their lives isn't going to go away with the transitioning business models of the industry and with the transitioning ways in which stories are going to be told and the platforms on which they're going to be told. I think we're going to have a little more expansive definition of what we mean by news gathering, news reporting, and storytelling going forward. So an example of that is that one of our other conference leaders is our current board member and conference liaison, Bert Herman, who runs Storify. Storify is a San Francisco startup that he actually incubated, I guess, at the Stanford Knight Fellowships. And, you know, he's taking a new way of communicating, which is short social posts, and figuring out how to knit those things together into a story type format that journalists can then deliver to a broad audience. That's an interesting change, and yet it still serves a purpose of creating a narrative for audiences, things that they can use to understand their world.
You know, I'd like to say, too, I don't mean by my earlier comments that I think we have it figured out, or that there aren't real concerns about exactly what Anthony said about, you know, the importance of journalism and strong reporting in its role in a democracy. There's real risk and concerns there. I think, though, that people are really understanding that there is not going to be one answer to this question. There's not going to be one revenue model. There was a period where a lot of publishers and, you know, operators of news networks were sort of talking about, if I can find that replacement for the current advertising models. Everybody understands, I think, now there's not one, and that it's going to have to be much more creative and diverse. So I feel like we're coming into the stage where it's still going to be messy, and there's no way to know how long it's going to be messy. But it's a much more creative and energetic time than it was 4 or 5 years ago. And much more of the public, I think, understands what's happening in the sense of the risk and of losing some of this and the value that we bring as journalists.
Yeah, and I would say, taking it back to sort of like the tone and the tenor of our organization, we've seen, as the conferences have gone on over the years, how our membership has really reflected the changing attitudes. And I would probably have to say that the last conference that I was a chair at was in New York in 2005, and that, I would say, would be the biggest sort of downer conference ever. That was the moment when traditional journalists who were coming there to understand this digital world clashed with digital journalists who had felt like they'd already left those guys behind. And we had this sort of pall over the conference about this conflict. What's interesting is, since then, that has lifted, and as Pam mentions, there's now a sense of intense energy, and, you know, it's almost like, you know, when you go to an AA meeting, they say you first have to acknowledge that you have a problem before you can solve it. We're well beyond the problem phase, and now you're getting lots of energetic people trying to solve how to do journalism today.
Yeah, my name is Mike. I'm a journalist.
As far as this energy and the creativity, can you guys point to some projects or organizations that are doing some exciting things that we should be looking to?
They could be your own.
Yeah, you can self-promote. That's fine.
I think Yahoo is doing great things. I mentioned Storify as, mm-hmm. as one example of some of the interesting new ideas that are coming out over from Silicon Valley and things. Again, Pam, you're so tapped into what's happening next. I guess I'd say one thing that's clearly going to be going forward is sort of the expression of personal interest and how to expressly show that to the digisphere and have it deliver you just what you need when you need it, in the form you need it, on the topics you need, that kind of explicit personalization. I think that's going to take on greater form going forward. And there are companies that are doing that kind of thing. Trapid is one that comes to mind. A lot of other little startups around the world.
So with the conference, and we're going to kind of wrap up here. With the conference, what would you hope that somebody who's attending the conference is going to take away from it?
Well, I would hope that if we've succeeded and O&A, everybody involved in this has worked really hard, I want to say, to make this a – this program is very broad and deep. There's no way you can get to everything at it. But the goal was to make it, you know, provide a lot of really clear, useful information, make people think, and also expose them to the sort of – what we call the Silicon Valley mindset of being comfortable and embracing risk, of trying new things, of changing quickly, of thinking about your user. So I think that it will be a success if people go away having had their minds blown by something they saw or heard that makes them try something new or renews their interest in finding new ways to be a journalist in the 21st century.
That was Pam Maples and Anthony Moore, co-chairs of this year's Online News Association Conference in San Francisco, September 20th through 22nd. We spoke to them August 30th, 2012. It's All Journalism is produced by Megan Clority, Mike O'Connell, and Jolie Lee. You can get more information at itsalljournalism.com.